What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast, brought to you by the Club app, the number one streaming app for DJs and partygoers. Today, we have my brother, DJ C. Los, to the show. Brother, can you please introduce yourself to the people, who you are and where you're from?
Yeah, my name is Carlos Turner, DJ C. Los. I'm originally from Haddock, Georgia. This is in between Macon and Millersville, Georgia. Currently residing in Atlanta area.
Awesome, man. We're super excited to have you on the show. This is the My DJ Story podcast, and we want to hear your story as a DJ. So bring us back to the beginning. What sparked your interest to become a DJ? And tell us a little bit about your intro to the game.
Well, yeah, so mostly I'm a country boy by heart. So where I grew up at, it was a guy that was a well-known DJ in the area. And I was like, he was break his cassette tapes, right? And I was be get my pencil and used to put his cassette tapes back together for him and stuff. And I would just touch all on his little knobs and his mixers and stuff. So it was kind of like, okay, it's kind of cool, but never really thought that was to be an interest. And then one day we was like having like little baseball games in the park and whatever. And I would just bring music and let it play on my boom box. And everybody was like, you know, listen to the music, whatever. I had my tapes, switching my tapes out, whatever. And then one day, a girl asked me, can you DJ my birthday party? And I'm like, I'm not a DJ. I just, you know, play some music. And she was like, no, I think you're good at it. I'm like, no, I'm not. But anyway, long story short, I did a little party. Had some old Fisher Price speakers that I got from the pawn shop. And it just went from there, I guess.
That's a really dope intro, man. And I think it's funny how, you know, you thought that you weren't really good. You said, hey, you know, I'm not a DJ. Someone wanted to utilize you as a DJ. You didn't even think of yourself as a DJ, but, you know, you was able to kind of walk your way into it and kind of just go from there. You know, keep on going with the story and tell us like where you progressed from that initial intro and kind of how you progressed from there.
Yeah. So like I said, I was actually helping this other guy with doing his work that was like the small work, fixing his cassette tape and stuff. So I just started watching him and looking at how he was, you know, going in and out of sets and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, I guess I understand that. And then, you know, and then when I went to college, nobody really knew. I kind of, you know, scared that everybody knew I was a DJ, right? Because I'd go back home and play little sets in my little home time or whatever. And I come back to school and I'd be seeing the DJs at school. Like, oh, they doing like this, they doing like that. And some of the guys would be like radio personalities and stuff. And I was like, I realized that I wasn't on the microphones and stuff like that. I was just playing music. And I realized that was another sector to, you know, DJing was more than me just sitting back there just playing the music. And so I started getting more of doing more of the parts of people who I didn't know versus the people always doing the people I always knew. And then all of a sudden, I was started doing clubs and did that for a few years. And I was still doing a few private sets, but nothing real major. And I was like, I feel like I was getting burnt out. So for like 5 years, I completely stopped. And then I met a few guys, one of my best friends named Mark Hall. And I met them and they was going to the Falcon game to tailgate. And I was like, hey, I want to just, you know, ride, go with you guys. And they had a DJ that wouldn't show up sometime. And one day I said, hey, man, I can DJ. And they were like, what? I'm like, yeah, I can DJ. And they were like, stop it. I'm like, for real. So they were like, they ended up buying me a few speakers and brought it to the actual set, to the tailgate. And I was on there and I was doing my thing, you know. And then that's when, like, you know, computers really start getting big in the game with, you know, having to, you know, download MP3s and stuff. So early 2000 or whatever. And I was like getting into it and stuff. And then next thing you know, people coming up, asking me to do their parties and stuff like that and weddings. And like, what's going on here? I wasn't expecting to do all this. Then people found out about my job because somebody was at the tailgate and they saw it and they told people my job. So I started doing things for the county, the entire county government. For like, I did like a Falcons Super Bowl pre-party or whatever, or tailgate. And it just kept going, you know. And then, you know, I just started adding stuff to my repertoire, where, you know, not just DJing, you know, of course, MCing. I helped coordinate people in their weddings and, you know, start doing, you know, understanding what's going on. Because the wedding's totally different than a party, because you got to select people that really party at a wedding. Most of them came there for the wedding and just get to see people. So you have to go a whole nother level to try to get that energy level up, because half those people didn't come to dance like that. And then I started just adding other things, like other additional stuff, like fog, dance fog, sparkling. It's more pyrotech stuff now. I do a lot of smoke strings and do a lot of different type of lighting, gobos, you name it. Anything that kind of that goes with the actual business I do. I actually, you know, now I'm starting to actually train other DJs and show them how to keep the crowd going and how to recognize the crowd, recognize who your target interest is. I think that's one of the biggest issues that I see with DJs do. They go in there and they just play what they like versus realizing who the customer is and get them into it, because every crowd is not the same crowd.
Man, I really like how your story progresses. It was a really organic growth where, you know, you're just DJing for your friends and people that you knew personally. And it went from the tailgating to the different county events and then doing people's weddings and stuff like that. Like, I think that organic approach really just shows how you grow as a DJ and how you're able to maneuver through this industry in a very just seamless way. And it seemed like you've done a really great job at it and are having a good time. Man, I really love this story. We're going to jump into a quick commercial break, but when we come back, we're going to go into some of the learning lessons that you learned throughout that early journey, okay?
Ooh.
And we're back with the My DJ Story podcast. We're here with my brother, DJ C. Los. He's an amazing brother and doing an amazing job in his DJ journey. We spoke about some of the things that he was able to do to just organically grow his craft and his business. And now we want to dive deeper into some of those learning lessons that he learned in his journey. So some of the things you spoke about, just being able to showcase your craft and being able to present and do your job in places that, you know, you're needed. You know, what are some of the ways that you're able to organically find these opportunities, and how can other DJs find great opportunities and put yourself in places for people to know what they're doing and book them for these different gigs?
Well, I think first thing you have to do is, like I mentioned prior, I was only doing people that I knew. I felt a little concerned about doing people I didn't know, because I already knew the people who I knew the type of music they want. I think it's okay to network and find out things that, you know, you do well and what other people do well. So you're not really stealing their style. You just using it to make your own, blend your own style. Because you still use your own style, but blend their style to help, you know, broaden your horizon, you know. So I think that's one of the lessons that I did learn. And there are some good DJs out there for it, just for information piece. Like some people say, well, it's a lot of hate in the game. I must say, I have met most of the DJs I have met have been cool, down-to-earth dudes. You know what I'm saying? No matter if they doing celebrity parties versus they're doing, you know, the backwood party. They're just, you know, humble because they know it's a craft to this. You know, we do know that if some DJs are not doing the craft the right way. You know what I'm saying? But the ones I know I have met, they're mostly genuine and really want to help others, because it's a lot of... the funding is out there for everyone. There's no reason saying, well, I won't tell him nothing because I want that funding, you know? So that's one of the lessons. The networking piece is what I learned. The other thing that I learned is that it's okay to realize what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are, you know? I think a customer will appreciate you if you can truly be honest with you and say, I'm really good at this, I'm not so good at that, but I'm willing to do it, you know. I think just showing your vulnerabilities and making yourself look more human, you know, humanize you. The other lesson I learned is that you got to know how to blend music to be a real good DJ. You can't just always stop the song and try to talk your way through the next song, or just transition without you can't go from R. Kelly feeling your booty to party up in here with DMX. This ain't a good transition, you know? So you gotta learn what time, when time, what and when is good time for transitions. So
You know, some really great learnings and great advice to DJs. You know, you spoke about one thing about how you can learn from other DJs and not really biting on their style or taking from the style. I was really just learning and treating them almost as a mentor from afar. You know, just being able to watch what they're doing and learning and being able to improve on your craft based on the craft of other people. And that's kind of the reason why we started this podcast. Like, there's going to be people listening to your story and are going to be able to learn things that they're going to be able to use and apply to their DJ journey. So we really appreciate you and saying what you're putting out there. And in terms of just building on your craft and being good at the skill set of DJing, you got to know how to mix, you got to know how to read the crowd and really just be an entertainer and be able to help the people that you're serving through DJing. Like you said, like a lot of your friends, family, and people reach out to you because they wanted your help to help them curate their events. So DJs are helpers. And if you go with that mindset of how can you help people the best with your craft, you'll get a lot of reward out of it. And like you said, there's a lot of opportunities, a lot of money. We just have to make sure that we're doing our things to be ready for the opportunities that come our way.
Exactly. Agree. Yeah,
so thank you for that, man. One thing we'd like to talk about here on this podcast is branding. You know, talk to me a little bit about your name, DJ Silos, and how you got that name and what it means to you.
Well, you know, my original name Carlos, so easy Silos, and a lot of people call me Silos. They call me Los. Like I said, they call me C Turn, call my last name Turner, whatever. It just flowed without me having to make up something too hard, you know. Silos, that's my name. You know, I know there's a thousand Silos out there, but that's my name too. So, and you know, I think though, branding, the best way that I brand my stuff is actually with saying my logo say welcome to the experience. And I really truly believe that because I used to tell a customer before I even had the actual logo, I used to say, I want to give you the best experience. I want to give you experience. So like you add up your private event, but you at the club. And then I was like, oh, that makes sense too. You know, let's say another logo on top of welcome to the experience. You know what I'm saying? My other logo is I'm providing, you know, a private party at the highest level, you know what I'm saying? So I'm open the level for the private party, you know? So I feel all that things that I would actually tell a customer was truly what my branding was. I didn't have to make up nothing because I was telling them, I want you to have the best experience. I want this level, this private party to be the best party, you know what I'm saying? So raising the level of private party is my second branding. It just, to me, that's where I believe in branding and truly stick to what you are. You know what I'm saying? And I think a lot of time I see what DJs do, they say they are doing this, but they don't have that data or those reviews that really say that what they mantra says, you know?
Yeah, I think that's super important. And, you know, one thing you mentioned about branding is that even with your name, there's probably a lot of DJ Silos, but depending on what you're trying to do and what your niche is, it doesn't really matter because you're going to have your own local brand or your own, you know, statewide brand or national brand or whatever brand you're trying to build. There's going to be people that are similar names or other names or just things that are similar. But how do you differentiate yourself as a DJ to where people want to book you and want to work with you? I think that you're doing a really great job with kind of relating that to the customer and having them understand what value they get when they book DJ Silos. Carlos Turner, not any other DJ Silos. So I think that what you're doing is super important. And to highlight to other DJs that the name is important, but the person behind the name is what really makes the brand. So, you know, you came up with something real quick and easy and just ran with it and been building on top of that brand ever since. So great job on that, man. I would love for you to talk about, you know, in your journey, like what are some of the struggles or some of the downports that you had in your journey and kind of how did you work your way out of it? You know, I did interviewed over 100 DJs so far for this podcast, and we've heard some stories about DJs wanting to quit and wanting to, you know, not continue the journey in this DJ career. So what are some parts of your DJ career that were, you know, some parts that were difficult and how did you make your way out of it?
Yeah, I definitely want to quit sometimes, several times, because, you know, you're buying all this equipment and you're not really using it on a regular basis. You know, that was one of the things that I was encountering with. And then the other part was really truly being honest with you, charging people different prices just because I knew them versus I didn't know them. You know, and then it got to a point where I felt like I was doing more than I need to be doing to compromise for my friends' sakes or people I knew sake versus, you know, still charging them a true DJ price. You know what I'm saying? And I think I have got away from that where, you know, I tell a customer right now, I tell a friend or whatever, like, can I just come to the party? Can you have another DJ? You know, because, you know, saying I want to keep a prisoner. I want to say, oh, he trying to charge me more. No, because all my prices on my website, I don't change prices. You know, I may give you a discount something here, whatever, but everybody really got the same rates for the most part. And I think my struggle is not a struggle, is that, you know, really just wanting to have some time. Because I, at some one point, I was just getting booked, and I just really had no time for myself and my family or to spend some time. And then sometimes I was missing vacations and trips, and I was like, you know what? I got to figure this out. Keep myself a real schedule and say, these are the days I'm not booking whatsoever. So you got to have, it's okay to make money, but it's also okay to have some time to recover. You know what I'm saying? Because I've been doing so many parties that I felt like that I wouldn't even listen to music no more. I was just playing. I was just DJing. And so I was like, you know what? Hold up. Wait a minute. I want to be this in perspective. I want to enjoy what I'm doing, not just do it because it's a dollar there. And I had to pull myself back from that part. I think the other thing was understanding what I need to give a customer to truly say, hey, this is who I am. This is what I'm offering. I recall when I was getting out extra contracts, I would just say, I'll do the party. And then they will not have the party. And then I'm just stuck because I don't told two or three other people that I'm booked that day. So I had to learn that, okay, you got to provide contracts. You got to provide invoice. You got to provide this so you can show that you're being professional and you actually provide a piece of paper with a documentation saying that they agreed to. So those are some of the struggles that I encountered that I had to get through and get past, provide a calendar, provide a contract, and realize that the dollar wasn't the end point.
Yeah, no, that's super good insight, man. It seems like the business side of it is where it gets a little bit more rocky, because everyone that's a DJ loves the art of DJing. But then the business side is sometimes a different animal where they got to figure out how to go about the different relationships that come when it's a business. Like you said, you have friends and family that kind of want to get in sometimes for a cheaper discount. And it's like, at the same time, you have to be able to charge appropriately or you're going to get burnt out where it's not worth your time to do these gigs at the such low rate. And it's super important. And that's what would make you want to quit DJing, because you, the stress and the feeling of not being, you know, valued as a DJ and, you know, not making enough money that it's worth the money to actually do. It makes it tough. So definitely great advice by just knowing your rates. And even if it's friends or family, you can, you know, if you want to give a little discount or whatever, just know where you feel comfortable so you don't ever go below what is profitable or even, you know, worth your time to be doing, because that can get very stressful. And, you know, and if you're a family member and you're listening to this, like, yo, hook your DJ up. You know what I mean? It's because they're your friends and family, you should want to support them even more, tip them exactly beyond what they want it to offer. And I think that if everyone goes with that mindset, we'll have a great time at these events and everything will be really great for everyone involved. And the part that you spoke about with contracts and deposits and stuff like that, as a DJ, you need to do the business side as well, so that way you can get the clientele and not miss out on opportunities. Like DJ CeeLo said, he would accept gigs for people and then someone would cancel and then he'll miss out on the other two opportunities because there were no deposit or no contract. So make sure you're setting up your business in a way where you can minimize the risk and always have those gigs and are able to carry through on them from the client and the opportunities that are in front of you. So thank you for telling these stories, man. It's super important. Because sometimes DJs just speak about all the good stuff, but they don't realize some of the hardship that come on the back end. And DJs that are getting into the game that hear this story, they can definitely be able to learn and try to prevent some of these things from happening to them.
And that's what I try to teach them. I try to teach them, like, look here, learn the business side and at the same time. Don't do like 100 to 200 gigs and then now you all, like you said, you in a hole or you just feeling bad about it, you want to quit. If you can just get started at the same time, provide the same type of business with the same type of DJing services at the same time, you won't be in my situation where I had to get in my 30s to realize, oh, my business not eking up to my actual DJ service. I had to get both of them on the same level. So you're right.
Yeah, man. I'd love to talk about, you know, what are some of the things that you're focused on now as a DJ, and how can myself, the club or community help and support you?
Yeah, so like I said, most of my actual priorities are just doing things within DJing, but also in a DJ way. Like I say, I'm doing photo 360. I'm doing fountain sparkles. I'm doing the dance on the cloud. I'm doing uplighting gobos. I'm doing a repertoire of different other services that goes along with DJ, so it can become a one-stop shop and the customer don't have to go anywhere, you know. So when I talk to my customer, I say, look here, you can get those other people come in, but I'm here from the beginning to the end. You're not paying for an extra service charge, you're not paying for an extra setup charge, you're getting all the service charges all in one. And so and people, like I said, people, they can reach me at DJ CeeLo's at Instagram, DJ CeeLo's Facebook, yeah, YouTube, Carlos A. Turner. You can check me out on, I gotta get Twitter, so I'm still trying to get used to Twitter. So, okay. But most of those three places where you really can catch me, see where my stuff is. And also on my website at DJ CeeLo's at wixsite.com. You can check me out there as well. You see all my pricings and things like that. Or you can email me. If you need to, it's carlosaturner@gmail.com.
Awesome. And yeah, we'll have all this in the show notes as well. And brother, tell me, you know, what's one piece of advice that you have for DJs out there? The most important thing in regards to that they need to know if they want to make it in the industry, specifically in the lane that you're playing, which is private events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the biggest thing is your communication skills and your professionalism. You may not get the gig at time, but guess what? That person gonna remember who you was, because they're like, that guy was really good. You know, he had his information together, he had his business together, and I saw his reviews, so he definitely could DJ. So if you got those three things together, I think that would take you a long way. Because I know some great DJs. The business sense is horrible. I hate to say that word, but it truly is horrible. They don't have that business mind, and then they don't have a true value of their service. They'll ask me, they'll be like, how much I charge? And I'm like, no, what are you worth? You know, you need to know your value, you need to know your worth. Well, your worth is higher than it probably should be. At least you know what your value and your worth is. And I can't tell you that, and the next person can't tell you. Only you can tell yourself what your value and your worth is.
That's great advice and super important. And like you said, you know, if you don't get that gig, they'll remember just how professional you were. And guess what? They'll remember you for the next time, because mm-hmm. they probably went with someone that maybe was a little cheaper, or they had a recommendation, but then the experience wasn't ideal to what they wanted. Then they remember just how great you were in the sales process, and they'll come back around to you because you just set that precedence, and then they want to continue to work with you from there. So don't give up, and make sure you always give your A game, whether it's the sales process, whether it's the actual job, the follow-up, just all around, always bring your A game.
That happened several times to me, where a person may have had a birthday party and went with another guy because he was cheaper. And then they end up getting married, and they call me like, look, I messed up last time. I'm not going to mess up this time, you know, because I learned that you really true pay for what you get what you pay for. You know what I'm saying? So I always tell people, I just really base that on my value. I feel like I'm bad. I don't feel like I need this $1,000 an hour gig, but I do need where I feel my time. I got, my 9-to-5, I sit here and keep cool and work on the computer, but I got to go out there and sweat. I didn't make up for that sweatness.
I love it, man. Hey, at this time, we're going to jump into the lightning round. Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
I use a virtual DJ. I'm an interactive DJ. I'm also, like I said, a VJ. So my sets consist of music videos and music. I use an NS7-3. I like turntable. I like my wheel to jog, so I can't use the Pioneer because I like to touch it. I like to feel the jog wheel turning. So if I ain't using that, I want to use a Ray. So I'm looking at Rays now.
Who's your favorite DJ?
My favorite DJ truly is the person who mentored me, that didn't realize he was mentoring me. And his name is Curtis Blow. His name is Curtis Norman. He just had a birthday. Happy birthday to you, brother.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at, and why?
My favorite party I did one time was at a house party. It wasn't that the party was a lot of people. The party just had vibe. And it went from 10 to 4 in the morning. And the vibe was strong the whole 6 hours. You know, in the house parties and private parties, the vibe goes up and down. Because like I said, they're not usually the party goers. There might be some people that are the party goer, but some people just there just to be there for the event. But it was a house party, and I'll never forget it. It was an amazing house party.
Name a nightclub or venue in your city or even anywhere in the world that you highly recommend people to check out.
You got to check out two venues, and a female venues, and they're doing great work. One's name is Kim Events in Douglasville. Oh my God, she have a great event space. And the second place is my girl, Yana Glitz of Atlanta in Stonecrest. She got 6,000 square foot. She got the drapes, she got everything, and her price is really, really good. I can't tell you what the price is, but that's her price. But I'm just saying, she worked with people. She got a real nice venue. Those two ladies are doing fabulous things in the city.
And what's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
I think what's missing is really truly the actual. I see a lot of people taking videos of their sets. And sometimes I think it's not the true party. It might be bits and pieces of it. But I think that if I can get the live stream to show the full 360 of the actual event, to show that, oh, they really feeling the party, not just no cuts and cut here, cut there, cut there, but the actual footage of the DJ back there, vibe, and he might be on the dance floor, or he might be emceeing in the crowd, somebody at the table dancing, and someone on the part. I don't feel like that's the part that we missing, that people don't see until they're there.
And shout out to DJs that you know personally, whose story also need to be shared on this podcast.
Well, one of the ones I'm mentoring, like DJ Will, he's doing fabulous things in Macon, Georgia. His dad was a DJ, but I'm pretty much his mentor for the most part. And shout out to his dad. And also, I'm going to give my son. My son, his name is K-Day. So he's starting to understand the business side now. So, you know, he was just DJing. He pretty much DJed his whole life through high school. He paid no dues, no nothing. He did everything through high school based off just DJing. I want to shout out to some other guys that I know that are doing real good, I think DJ Newman probably on here with you already. Very good brother, you know what I'm saying? Go DJs Atlanta. It's a lot of brothers. I be like, I can't remember their names. I see their face so much. I just call them, what's up, brother? You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of them out there I want to get a shout out to, but those ones I definitely want to say what's up to them. And y'all keep working, man. Also, my boy Dennis over there working in his thing. So, you know, DJ D Sound, that's his actual DJ name. I think they DJ name. Willie G. DJ Mac Knight, June, so DJ June. So those are the DJs I work with. You know, we work together and we try to make this thing a big family. You know, I can't leave out my boy DJ Dre Diddy. Can't leave him out. So yeah, so it's a lot of the brothers out there that are doing good things.
Awesome. And you can check out DJ New Me at episode 66. And brother, all the DJs you mentioned, I would love to have them on the show. So any DJ that wants to sign up, they can sign up at djsignup.com. But where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
Yeah, so like I say, I'm always going live on DJ CeeLo on Facebook. I'm doing live for most of my events. I'm live on Instagram, DJ_CeeLo's ENT. So all those places where you can really see some of my live footage, and I always kind of post something on YouTube on Carlos A. Turner. I'm always posting something on YouTube that I'm doing, that like I do a lot of charity work as well. I do a lot of, and that's one thing DJs need to do. You got to start doing more charity work. You know, you don't have to sell yourself, do it all the time, but at least sometimes give back so that people understand that you're not just about the money, you know? So, you can always catch stuff on my stuff on YouTube.
Wow, brother, I love the plug for the charity. Great, great word for the people. And I appreciate you spending time with us today. Everyone, check out my brother DJ CeeLo's, really doing a great job in the DJ game and saying some good words to us today and dropped a lot of great gems to help anyone in their journey. So thank you for spending time with us today, man. We look forward to supporting you and joining you in your journey throughout your career as a DJ, man. So thank you.
Okay, welcome to the experience, y'all. Y'all keep it moving.
Thank you for listening to the My DJ Story podcast. If you haven't already, please join our community by downloading the Club app for free in the Google Play and App Store today. While you're there, do us a huge favor by giving us a 5-star rating and shoot us a message on Instagram telling us you did. I'd love to send you a free My DJ Story podcast t-shirt as a token of our appreciation. Thank you so much, and we'll look forward to seeing you in the club.